today, let's look at the scriptures and learn about as we eagerly wait for Jesus' return. As we eagerly wait for Jesus' return. In the book of Acts, we read that the Apostle Paul went to a Grecian city named Corinth. Corinth was one of the most wicked, godless cities in the Roman Empire during Paul's day. The scripture says that Paul entered this wicked city and started a revival. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized, remarkably. In spite of the horrible condition of the city, many of the people believed and were baptized, and Paul stayed there for a year and a half, teaching them the Word of God. Normally, Paul never stayed any place for a year and a half, but the Lord led him to do so here. And these Corinthians, who had never heard of Jesus or Christianity, heard a startling message from the lips of the Apostle Paul. Paul taught them that this ascended Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, will return. He told them the ascended Jesus will return to earth someday and set up a kingdom forever and ever and ever. Let's read Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Here's a verse that perhaps Paul used in his preaching. Matthew 16, verse 27.
For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done.
There, Paul could have quoted the words of Jesus. I'm going to return in My Father's glory with the angels. And then, no doubt, the apostle referred to Jesus' words spoken in John chapter 14, verse number 3. Some of our favorite verses concerning the second coming of Jesus. Here it says,
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am.
There, Jesus promised, I'm going to come back, take you to be with me. And then, I don't know if Paul had the book of Acts at this time. Probably he did not, because he was actually living the book of Acts, but he no doubt heard this story of Jesus' ascension back to heaven. Here is what happened in Acts chapter 1, verse number 11.
Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.
So Paul told the people in Corinth, Jesus ascended, but he's also going to descend. He's going to come back the same way he went away. So, a wonderful church was born in Corinth, and Paul went on his way. He went to other parts of the Roman Empire. But while he was away from Corinth, he received a letter, a disturbing letter, from the Corinthians. He received reports that they were struggling. There were divisions in the church. There was immorality in the church. They were misusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were confused about the resurrection. They were struggling greatly. So Paul wrote them the books we call 1st and 2nd Corinthians, which were really letters. So he wrote to them, and I want you to notice what he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 1, 8.
He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He wrote to them, He will keep you strong to the end. You see, as we eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus' coming, He is committed to keeping us strong to the end. Just like the Corinthians, we struggle, we fight, we go through enticements and temptations, we have lows and we have highs, we have victories and we experience defeats. But the Bible wants us to be assured that God commits Himself to keeping us strong to the end. Paul wanted the Corinthians to know what Jesus was doing at that time. Sure, it's great to think about Jesus coming back, but what is He doing today? What is Jesus accomplishing today? Is He just gone away for ever and ever until he comes back and does nothing for us in the intervening years? No, Paul said to the Corinthians, he will keep you strong. He's in the process of keeping you strong today until he returns. So, brother, sister, we need to get our eyes off ourselves and on to Jesus. You know, I hear people talking about or preaching about the second coming of Jesus, and they almost try to scare us in this living righteous lives. They say, you better straighten up because you don't know when Jesus is coming and he's liable to capture you whenever you are not aware of it. That isn't the Bible way to do it. He commits himself to keeping us strong until the end of our earthly life. He's on our side. He's not against us. He's not trying to trick us or catch us in a sin. He's there, standing at our side. You see, this life is a perfection process. It's an ongoing perfection process in which God is conforming us gradually to the image of Jesus. And Jesus pointed the Corinthians to Jesus' strength and not to their own weakness. So, brother, sister, God wants to revolutionize the way we think so that we keep looking up to his strength and so that we do not become overwhelmed by consciousness of our own weakness. We only fear our weaknesses whenever we forget about Jesus' power. That's just the way it is. Throughout the Bible, people only forgot about Jesus' strength whenever they got their eyes on themselves and their own weaknesses. Let's go all the way back to the book of Exodus. Here we have God calling a shepherd named Moses. God's calling him to become the leader and the savior and the deliverer of Israel. Now here was God speaking to Moses. God was saying, I want to send you back to Egypt so you can lead my people out of Egypt. Here's what happened. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10.
Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue.
Moses was only aware of what he couldn't do. He was only speaking about what he was not. But look at verse number 12, same chapter.
Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.
God responded and said, Moses, forget about what you can't do. Forget about your inabilities. I will help you. So God will turn his attention, Moses' attention, upward. Brother and sister, that's what God was doing through Paul to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were only faltering, struggling. They were only full of their own weaknesses. But Paul said, God will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So my brother and my sister, today, lift up your attention to the Lord. He's the one who commits himself to helping you. He wants to keep you strong during this perfection process until the very end of your life on earth. Okay, let's go back to Moses. Moses finally believed the word of the Lord, and he returned to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, release the people. Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to release the people. In fact, Pharaoh made it worse for the people than ever before. Here's what Moses did. Exodus 5, verse 22. We see his faith in God collapse.
Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me?
God, what's wrong with you? Why have you set this trouble on the people? Is this why you sent me? Just to cause more and more problems for your people? Again, Moses' eyes were downward instead of upward. But here's God's response to Moses. Exodus 6, verse 1.
Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country.
You see, God's only talking about himself. He says, my mighty hand, here's what I'm going to do. So, brother, sister, that's the way we should approach our lives, our weaknesses, our inabilities, our struggles. Think about what God is and what God will do for you. Think about his promises. He will keep you strong to the end. Yes, we admit our weaknesses. We don't deny them. We don't hide them. We admit our weaknesses so we can rely on Jesus' power. We admit our weaknesses not to cause us to fear ourselves, but we admit our weaknesses so we can rely more strongly on Jesus' power. That's the God to whom you belong. Refuse to see your weaknesses as greater than God's power. Let me do that again. Refuse to see your weaknesses as greater than God's power. Remember, He will keep you strong to the end. The emphasis of the verse is on what God can do, what God commits Himself to doing. Listen to these words, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13.
I can do everything through Him who gives me strength.
There it is. I can do all things. I can remain pure in character. I can remain faithful to Jesus until He comes again. This is the Psalm 18, verse number 29.
With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall.
Look at the emphasis. It's on the Lord. Let's read it again, Dee.
With your help, I can advance against a troop.
Did you hear that? With God's help, I can advance against a troop that's attacking me. Second part.
With my God, I can scale a wall.
With God's help, we can overcome every barrier, every obstacle in our way. So the whole message of the Bible is we can succeed with God. God intends for us to succeed. God never intended for any of us to be a loser. When we feel as weak as water, the powerful God clings to us. This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. When we feel as weak as water, the powerful God clings to us. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13.
No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There.
So here, the Lord is talking about His own faithfulness. He is faithful, it says, and He will make a way out so that you can stand up under anything that comes along. So you say, "But sister, God's going to keep us till Jesus comes to receive us. We don't have to think about Jesus' coming and shake our boots and wonder if we're going to be ready. Our eyes should be on Him, the one who will keep us strong to the end." In fact, here's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said to them, "I actually appreciate my personal weaknesses. I appreciate my weaknesses." Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, verse 10.
He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me."
Isn't that great? Let's do that again, please.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
That's what Jesus says to us. His power, His glory, His honor is perfected or enhanced or increased through our weaknesses. Then let's read verse 10.
When I am weak, then I am strong.
I like that. I like that. When I am weak, then I am strong. So, brother, sister, that's what Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers when they were struggling. And that's what he's writing to all of us. God is using the Apostle Paul to speak to us, even though Paul's been away from earth for 21 centuries. Okay. Let's look at the second part of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8. The first part assures us that Jesus will keep us strong to the end. But look at the last part. It says, "You will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus." You won't be spotted with sin. and imperfections and godlessness. You will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus. Jesus intends to keep you strong. Why? Because he wants to proudly present you to his heavenly Father. Jesus wants to proudly present every one of us to his heavenly Father. Let's read Jude, verse number 24.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great glory.
There it says that God is able to present us to himself without spot, without fault. So you see, Jesus is going to take every one of us and bring us to Father and say, Father, they were yours, but you gave them to me, and I kept them strong to the end. And now, Father, I present them to you as yours forever and ever and ever. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 14.
Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence.
It says he's going to raise us with Christ Jesus and present us in his presence. You are going to be a present from Jesus to Heavenly Father. Incredible. We are going to be a present from Jesus to Heavenly Father. We will adorn Jesus like the jewels of a ruler's crown. Isn't that incredible? We will adorn Jesus like the jewels of a ruler's crown. I want us to go back to a couple of Old Testament verses. Let's go to Daniel, please, chapter 12, verse number 3.
Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
We're going to shine at the brightness of the sun. Whenever Jesus presents us to Father, we're going to shine at the brightness of the sun and like the stars, the firmament, forever and ever and ever. We are going to glisten with the glory of Jesus. And Father's heart's going to sing for joy as Jesus presents us to him. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse number 17.
They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possessions.
We are going to be treasured possessions. They're going to shine like the jewels of a ruler's crown. Because Jesus will keep us strong. And listen to these words from Matthew chapter 13, verse number 43.
Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father.
Isn't that great? Jesus says, we're going to shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. So, brother, sister, God is bringing us to glory. Yes, we struggle during this perfection process. Yes, we hurt. We experience pain. We go through tough times. We go through our personal failures. But in the end, we will be presented to Father. We will shine like the sun in all its strength. God commits his infinite person and inexhaustible power to keeping us blameless. God commits his inexhaustible power to keeping us blameless, to protecting us from sin, Satan. He commits his infinite person to shielding us, keeping us blameless until Jesus appears and takes us to be with himself. This is the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5.
Whose true faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
It says we are shielded by God's power. Brother, sister, there's no better shield in all the universe. God is an impenetrable shield. Let Satan throw all the fiery darts he wishes. But God is going to keep us, shield us, protect us, and perfect us. He's, moment by moment, transforming us into the beauties of the Lord Jesus. So you see, the Corinthians were very, very imperfect. They were struggling in their theological teachings. They were struggling in their behavior, trying to learn how to live the Christian life. They looked like failures. They looked like a group of people that God wanted nothing to do with. But Paul wrote to them these reassuring words. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another verse we haven't read. We've been concentrating on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8. Let's look at the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9.
God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful.
God, who has called you, God, who summoned you to be a part of his kingdom, God is what? What does it say? It says God is faithful. Brother, that's your hope. Sister, that's your hope. As we eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus to come back, let's be confident in his commitment to preparing us for his return. Jesus today is preparing us for his return. He isn't trying to sneak up on us. He isn't trying to trick us. He isn't trying to cause us to stumble and fall. He is committed to preparing us for his return. Since we are jewels in a ruler's crown, I see Jesus polishing us. I see Jesus removing from us every minute speck of unchristlikeness. I see Jesus lovingly buffing us as he prepares us to shine like the brightness of the sun. We're going to be the light not only of the world, but the light of heaven, reflecting the radiance of our Heavenly Father. So, brother, sister, we have every reason to expect victory, even when we fail. Go ahead, get up. You can do it again. Dee, would you go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 24, verse number 16. I want you to see what God says about his commitment to you and to me. We want to concentrate on what God is, not what we are. Remember now, he's in the process of perfecting us for Jesus' return. Here the Bible says,
for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again.
There it is. Yes, we fall. We admit it. But that verse says, we merely rise again. The word seven simply indicates perfection. We are complete failure is what it's saying. Though we fall seven times, we will rise again because of Jesus' commitment to us. So, brother, sister, you should read and reread 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8 and 9. It declares, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who called you into his kingdom, is faithful, always lifting up our eyes to see him. So, brother, sister, today, why don't you come on back to Jesus? Why don't you quit talking yourself out of walking in intimate fellowship with him? Quit thinking he wants nothing to do with you. He's there with you because he values your companionship. You mean all the world to Jesus. And now's the time to quit wandering around in life, wondering if God loves you or not. He does love you. We want to eagerly anticipate Jesus' return because what he can do. The one who keeps us strong to the end so that we will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you so very, very much. And we thank you for loving us very imperfect humans. We thank you for giving Jesus your ultimate possession for us. Thank you for giving him over to death, mocking, spitting, torture. Thank you for giving him over to all of that to redeem us and bring us into your family. Now, Lord, I pray that everyone who hears this radio broadcast or this CD will be encouraged to look up to God instead of down on themselves. Father, we are your treasured possessions because you said it, not because we're perfect or because we're anything special, but we are your treasured possessions because you declare that we are. And we believe that, Lord, so we give ourselves to you, and we know that we will be ready when Jesus returns to earth. In your wonderful name, Jesus, amen.